to another edition of the PHNX D-backs postgame show right here on PHNX. My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as the mayor of Budzapalooza. This is going to be a fun one. This man next to me, your vice mayor of PHNX, also known as your thunderstick, Jesse Friedman. What a win in San Francisco. The Diamondbacks rolled to a 17-1 victory. Is that what? I started to lose count after a while. Where were we even at one point? 17-1 victory. Everything you could ask for in Jordan Montgomery's debut. And boy, did Jordan Montgomery come up big in his debut. Exactly what the Diamondbacks needed. Of course, shout out to OG's Brands. Speaking of Budzapalooza, the official sponsor of Flavoring Fridays, also the official sponsor of my mood right now. OG's is not your average cannabis infused company. They absolutely knock it out of the park when it comes to flavor and the effects of their gummies. Head on over to OG'sBrands.com to see their full lineup, including their two newest gummies, the OG's Naturals and the Big OG's, and find out where you can purchase them. There's a long line at the OG's booth out there. They were giving away all sorts of free samples. And
there you go.
Yeah, people needed their OGs. Tonight, Jesse, I do not need my OGs to get over a Diamondbacks game. This one, I could have gone in stone cold sober and enjoyed this one for sure. But Jordan Montgomery absolutely shoved in his debut. And I think in almost a surprising fashion. Like, we knew what we got out of Montgomery, but based on, of course, you know, his recent starts in Reno, I think there was some concern about if he was going to be ready for major league pitching at this point.
I mean, in a sense, Jordan Montgomery's outing was completely wasted because the Diamondbacks scored so many runs that it didn't really matter.
You're gonna go that direction?
It didn't really matter who was on the mound tonight, Derek, because the offense scored 17 runs.
We didn't know which direction he was going to go in, but that was one that caught us both off guard. That's good stuff, Jesse.
Fucking unpredictable.
Jesse Friedman, keeping us on our toes every single day. That's what I aim to do. It's premature, but I'm bringing the beer bat back,
Jesse, just so you can go ahead and find other bad ways to look at a 17-1 victory. But go ahead, please talk about Jordan Montgomery being wasted tonight on a 17-1 game.
He was incredible. Jordan Montgomery came out and was exactly what you could have hoped for, right? You mentioned his last couple of starts. I mean, I guess he just made two starts in Reno, and the second one of those was not great. He gave up 7 runs on 9 hits and 3 2/3 innings. Velo was a little bit down, and it was down again today, but you saw a perfect example tonight of why Jordan Montgomery is a good starting pitcher.
So
right?
efficient.
He mostly stayed out of the middle of the strike zone. He was working around the edges. He got a lot of ground balls. He only threw 78 pitches in those 6 innings of work. You know, once he gets built up a little more, I imagine, you know, he could pitch into the 7th inning, you know, maybe even beyond that with how efficient he was. But yeah, he was really good. And, you know, even though I'm joking about how his outing was entirely wasted, the first few innings of this game were very competitive, right? I mean, this was Jordan Montgomery against Blake Snell, like two really good starting pitchers.
Absolutely.
Who are both in interesting and kind of identical situations, having signed right before, or I guess in Montgomery's case, right after the start of the regular season. And they were, I mean, for a while, this looked like it was going to be a pitching duel, sort of exactly what you would expect. And then the fifth inning happened. Yep. The Diamondbacks got to Blake Snell, wind up scoring 5 runs off him, and Jordan Montgomery, he gave up the 1 home run ball to Jorge Soler, but he was very, very good in this game.
8 swings and misses tonight. Swing and misses tonight. Did not get a lot of strikeouts, but he had a lot of soft contact today, of course.
Yeah.
I think the bigger thing here, the more interesting thing, is that he doesn't really throw a fastball, right? He only threw 4.
He throws a sinker, which is sort of a variety of fastball.
It is, but it has movement to it, right? And the one thing that the San Francisco Giants have been very good at this season is hitting fastballs, right? So he only threw 4 four-seam fastballs, and that could have been a bit of the recipe here as to why he had such a good outing. It might have just been the fact that his pitch type and what his strengths are matched up well against the Giants and what they've been good at so far this season. But 6 innings pitch, 4 hits, 1 earned run, 0 walks, 3 Ks. Give it to me. This man instantly becomes a very big weapon for the Diamondbacks, for Torey Lovullo, as far as starting pitching goes, especially with the way the bullpen has been struggling. I mean, Jesse was surprised that he came out, you know, to give them the 6th inning, right, based on how
a
many
little
ups,
bit,
up,
yeah.
up and downs he had
you know, in Reno. He just hadn't
He hadn't pitched more than four innings in a game since coming over to the Diamondbacks. I think, according to what he had said during his press conference when he signed, he had gone up to five innings, like 75 pitches, that rough range, working out at Scott Boras's training facility. I think he might have a training facility in South Carolina as well. But yeah, I mean, it's not the same.
The man
as
is
getting
making mutants. It's Xavier's, you know, academy for mutants.
It's not going to be the same as actually pitching in a competitive environment. So I wasn't quite sure how far they'd be willing to push him today. But yeah, he was through five innings on, I think it was 71 or 72 pitches. And they did decide to put him out there for the sixth. And it was a six or seven pitch inning and he was out of there. So he had eight of the outs that he got, eight out of the 18 outs he got tonight were on two or fewer pitches. So he was very efficient and working around the edges of the zone, as I said before.
That's the thing that was just more impressive, you know, about than anything else, was the fact that it felt like he could have given them more. And of course you do want to limit that on his first outing, his first major league outing of the year, but still.
Yeah.
All doubts, any doubts that you may have had about signing Jordan Montgomery as a fan should have been alleviated by this one start. I know it's just one start. I'm sure anybody would want to see more starts just to see if this is actually, you know, what he can be this year. But if he can be this, if he can be this kind of guy that just kind of quietly get it done without a lot of drama, without a lot of hard contact. I mean, there's a lot of times where we've talked about Brandon Pfaadt or Zach Gallen, for instance, having an outing where the numbers looked great, but the opposing team still hit, you know, that pitcher in particular very hard that night. And in some cases, that's where Jesse starts getting into the nerd stats that drive me and some of you crazy about expected batting averages instead of actual batting averages and expected results versus actual results. Everything lined up very well for Montgomery to be exactly the pitcher he was. Especially in the second half of last season for the Texas Rangers. That's what's very encouraging about what we saw out of him today.
Yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit during his outing about how he's sort of like left-handed Merrill Kelly. That's not a perfect comp by any means. There are some differences with how they attack hitters and you know, there's a lot of differences that you could pick at. But in terms of the results that you get, those two guys have been fairly similar. You look at their numbers last year, Jordan Montgomery, a 3.20 ERA in 188 and two-thirds innings. Merrill Kelly had an ERA of 3.29 last year. So pretty much identical also right around that 180 inning mark. So these are Diamondbacks having Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly, and Jordan Montgomery all in the starting rotation. As we discussed when this move first happened, like, it sets up a really good group for the D-backs. And obviously, Eduardo Rodriguez is not part of that group right now. And based on the setback that we found out about, a week ago, it might be a while before he joins this group. But even without Eduardo Rodriguez, having Gallen, Kelly, and Montgomery, you know, even if there are some question marks with the other two guys, I know Brandon Pfaadt looked pretty darn good in his outing against the Cubs. Yes, I certainly expect him to bounce back. It has the makings of a really good rotation. And that's why, you know, a 10-11 record, D-backs start hasn't been ideal, but there are a lot of reasons to be optimistic about, you know, what the rest of the season could look like.
Meanwhile, I didn't really have Blake Snell being 0-3 with 11.57 ERA after three starts, but that's where we're at. And
yeah,
honestly, I don't think a lot of people could predict that at the beginning of the season when we were talking about, you know, which pitcher would you rather have, Jordan Montgomery or Blake Snell? That was a debate that people were having at one point because they were the two top available, you know, pitchers on the free agent.
And I think most people would say Snell. I mean, he's the guy who just won the Cy Young Award, right? I mean, it's hard to have a better season than Blake Snell just had, even though, you know, his results over the years have been a little bit more uneven, I guess you could say. Jordan Montgomery has been pretty much the model of consistency outside of when he had Tommy John surgery and when he was coming back from that. He's been very, very consistent in a way that Blake Snell hasn't. Snell has the higher ceiling of the two guys, I think you could say, based on what we saw last year, is, you know, winning his second Cy Young Award. But there's something to be said for Montgomery and the fact that you just feel like you really know what you're getting.
Yeah.
And, that certainly was the case tonight. Montgomery looked every bit like the pitcher who was very good down the stretch for the Rangers last year. And, of course, very, very good in the postseason, helping them win the World Series when all was said and done.
None of that matters. Like you said, it was a wasted outing. Jordan Montgomery could have just shit the bed tonight, given up 10 runs, and the Diamondbacks still would have had their his back because the bats are alive, folks. 17 runs, 22 hits. The Diamondbacks offense showed up and showed out. Of course, Mr. Naysay over here is like, oh, watch them now score 5 runs in the next 2 games, which is probably what's going to happen. But
we'll see. We'll see.
I wish it was aggregate scoring, but it's not in baseball. But the Diamondbacks scored multiple runs in multiple innings. They scored in 5 innings total. They put up, or 6 innings total. They put up 3 runs in the 5th, 4 in the 7th, 6 in the 8th, 2 in the 9th. Take your pick as to when they're scoring. They were scoring early and often in this game. They put up a few single-digit innings as well. This team was just absolutely on fire. When you look up and down the score sheet, multiple guys had multiple hit nights tonight. Christian Walker was 3-for-6 with an RBI. Ketel Marte just remained
red hot. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Just absolutely red hot. 4-for-6 with an RBI and 1 double. And, I mean, the man is just is locked in a way that I don't know if we've ever seen other than the playoffs last year. So when you talk about it carrying over from what he did last year to this year, it really feels like it's the exact same Marte that we saw in the postseason.
Ketel Marte had 4. D-backs made a lot of hard contact in this game, needless to say. But Ketel Marte had 4 of the 5 hardest hit balls by either team in this game. And just going at the from the top of the list here, he had 1 single that was 111.6 off the bat, another single that was 109.5. He did ground into a double play at one point in this game.
And Jesse wanted him subbed. Jesse wanted him removed
from the game.
It was wild.
Correct. That was only 109.1 off the bat, so he was clearly slipping in that at bat. And then he had another base hit in this game that was 108.2 off the bat. So Ketel Marte just continues to make an outrageous amount of hard contact, and that generally translates into results. And boy, has it over the last few days. Ketel Marte now has a 3-hit game in 3 of his past 4 games, and that'll play, Derek. That's
más fuerte. Right. Ketel es más fuerte.
There you go.
Hitting .345 with a .990 OPS right now after tonight's 4-hit performance. Of course, a lot of other guys had good nights tonight as well. Gino. 2-for-3 with 3 runs scored, and he had 3 walks.
He did,
which is big. We need Gino to be more patient at the plate because he was slipping right into the stereotype of him being a pretty big strikeout guy lately, and that showed some patience at the plate. Randall Grichuk had the big hit that kind of broke things open.
He did.
You know?
Yeah. It was only a 3-1 game with 2 outs. The Diamondbacks had gotten a couple of runs in that 5th inning, and then Randall Grichuk really, I guess they'd just gotten 1 run in that inning, and Randall Grichuk came in and made it 2 more with a huge 2-out, 2-run double. And that's what knocked Blake Snell out of the game. And that's why Blake Snell left this game ultimately 4 2/3 innings, 9 hits, 5 runs. It's been a rough start for Snell, as you said, but he didn't look rough in the first few innings. Like it really looked to me like Blake Snell had kind of found his way and was pitching pretty much like his Cy Young caliber self from last year, but the D-backs found a way to get to him.
Cogs with a great point. Marte has to be player of the week. He's had an incredible week at the plate. And
that's a good point.
Even at times when the Diamondbacks as a whole, as an offense, haven't been great, he has been very, very good. Cogs also with the super chat. We love you, Cogs. He says the return of the beer bat. Yes, sir. Got it. The bats are hot. So this bat kind of cold right now, filled with this ice cold Hop Knot IPA, which I adore. But he says return of the beer bat. Drink a cold one for me, Derek. Can we get an official statement from the Blaze Alexander fan club? The bad homer call too. We'll get there. We're right there, actually. We're so close to being there, but let's get there. Brandon Buckingham, thank you for the super chat. Brandon says, so what's the team record for hits? D-back site said 21 was prior record, but broadcast and MLB Twitter said it was 22. Jesse, this
I can look that up. Yeah.
Supposedly ties a franchise record at 22.
Okay.
That's what we have. So, of course, I don't. Again, there could be some confusion on that. Sometimes it has to come from the official. Let's see. We got it from Alex. 18 hits, matching their season high from opening day on March 28th versus that's the season
high. I don't think D-backs PR has made a statement
on
that yet.
Update yet. But we will get you a clarification before this episode is over for sure. Nicholas Gruters with your super chat. Thank you so much. Nicholas says 45 of our 123 runs have come in 3 games. That can't be right. Is that right? That can't be right.
45 of our 123 runs have come in three games.
That's impossible, right? Well, wait, hold on. 17-16.
Yeah, and then they scored 12 the other day against the Cubs.
He's right. Holy shit, Nicholas, you're right. We average 4.3 runs per game. Otherwise, also only team with a plus run differential, 30-plus. Plus 30 and a losing record. Yeah.
And plus 30 is not a small positive run differential. I haven't looked it up, but that's probably a top five run differential in baseball. Also, on that note, I will say that the Diamondbacks' 123 runs lead all of Major League Baseball. The Diamondbacks have scored more runs than any other team in the league. And by like a pretty decent margin. Yeah. The Atlanta Braves are second with 116. Granted, I think they've played three fewer games at this point.
And we're missing half of our team. And half of our team is injured. Wait till they're all here at the same time. It's going to be incredible.
Imagine if they get hit when it mattered.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So let's talk about this, right? Because sometimes, like, it is one of those things that, like, can you save it for another game?
Yeah.
Do you really need to put on 17 runs when the opposition only scored one?
No, you don't.
No, you don't need to. But one thing about it is keeping it going, right? And I mean, it's a matter of like not letting up just because you're up so much. It's a matter of just still trying to go out there and do your job when you're at the plate and hit the ball. And like we saw them being very effective at doing that tonight. That was absolutely a huge part of at times this team getting on a roll at times though last year was them kind of putting it to someone and then going on a roll, like just having that belief that even when you're down, you've seen yourself score 8 runs in an inning before.
Right.
The team tonight, shit, man, how many times have they been down by less than 5 runs, or less than 6 runs, less than, you know, 4 runs at times, right? So the fact they were able to put up 4 in the 7th, 6 in the 8th, those are late inning runs, which we thought for a little while there they were just completely incapable of doing. Sure, it was against the Giants team that was kind of rolling over there at the end. It didn't care what the score was because it already had
Tyler Fitzgerald pitching the 9th inning.
Don't you dare besmirch Tyler Fitzgerald today. But I'm just saying
Paven Smith's going to hear it for that pop-up.
He absolutely should. But Paven Smith
that was wild. Everybody was tattooing the baseball, and then Paven Smith just skies.
I mean,
it.
I do think we can acknowledge that when position players pitch, the results are generally maybe not as bad as you would expect them to
be. Especially when they're throwing 47 miles per hour.
Yeah,
up in the zone.
It's weird. It is weird. So I will, you know, I'm not going to be maybe as hard on like anyone who gets an out. Like it does happen. Usually when position players pitch, they only give up like a run or two because, you know, it's weird hitting 47 miles an hour.
We were destroying the ball though. Yeah. At that moment in time. And then he looked like he pressed square and MLB The Show. And he just,
yeah, we all press square.
He got the wheelhouse way wrong. Yeah. Way wrong.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But there's one guy we haven't talked about, and that was because this band is the man of the hour. As the founder and proprietor of the Blaze Alexander Fan Club, this band almost had 2 home runs tonight because his first hit the top of the wall and was somehow ruled just a double, even though it very much looked like it was a home run.
Yeah. It kind of a weird situation. It seemed extremely, extremely close. Like, I guess within inches maybe of being an actual home run, based on the umpire that they brought on a former major league umpire on a Zoom call, which shout out Apple TV Plus. They you know, they have their own ways of doing these things and I respect it. Although get the man a nice microphone, cause that was hard to listen to. But he seemed to agree that this is not actually a homer, but it was still a really big hit. Blaze did still wind up scoring later that inning on a Ketel Marte RBI single. Who else, right? That was still a really big moment in the game, getting the Diamondbacks' first run on the board. And of course, they never trailed from that point forward.
But then it was no doubt about it. An absolute no doubter there in the 8th inning. An Oppo Taco grand slam by Blaze Alexander.
Yeah.
That just made this lead insane and completely out of control. It was already there before that, but he just needed to pile on. And for all of these reasons, and thanks to our friends at OGs, this is also brought to you by OGs brand because it's Blaze. And we're all blazing because Blaze Alexander is our king snake tonight. 3 for 5, I think, is what he ended up being. 2 doubles, 1 home run, 5 RBI. My God, Blaze, let's go. Of course, you know, how when this guy's putting up this kind of numbers, how can you keep him out of the lineup, Jesse? I mean, it just goes back to the spring training thing of how can you send him down to Reno when he was hitting and playing the way he was during spring training.
It really is. I mean, it's a testament to not all spring training breakouts being like completely fake, right? I mean, yeah. Blaze Alexander really raked in spring training, and he's come into the regular season and he's been pretty good. I mean, Blaze Alexander at this point has a 340 batting average with a 1000 OPS. I don't know if he can maintain that for the whole season, but it's been a really impressive start. And basically how Torey Lovello has been using him is starting him against every lefty, mostly a DH. We haven't seen Blaze at shortstop much after some of the miscues that he made early on. I imagine we'll see more of that in the coming days. But Blaze, I mean, that grand slam was against a righty. Most of the damage that he had done this season, including the damage that he did against Blake Snell, is against a lefty, but he's also shown some pretty good things and had some pretty good at bats against righties out there as well. And can you start Blaze Alexander over Jock Peterson against a righty? I don't think you can, but can you start Blaze Alexander over, say, Kevin Newman at shortstop against a righty while Geraldo Perdomo is out? I think you probably can, and I imagine we might see more of that in the coming days.
Just find a way to creatively get him in the lineup more. That's all I have to say about Blaze Alexander. And yeah. I think from what we've seen so far from people, they are frustrated at times with the defensive mistakes that he makes, but are willing to put up with it. I feel like the fans at times are a good judge because fans are emotional. Fans at times overreact, but for the most part, I've seen some patience with the Diamondbacks fan community in regards to Blaze and just being like, fine, he makes some mistakes. He also goes out there and at times is the best hitter on this team. So it's like, we'll take that considering that he might make some mistakes. We'd rather see him grow as a defender and earn that more playing time and just, you know, of course, continue to find a way to keep his bat in the lineup. I do want to say that if you saw me smiling like a goon earlier, it wasn't at Jesse. It was at my beautiful wife who was standing outside of this office door, and I got to see there briefly. So just to clear that up. And by the way, going back to what Nate
you
Cleveland
never look
said,
at Jesse like that.
I never. No, I would no. never look you at him like to. That. I
early in the podcast, not. You used to.
Yeah, but those days are over.
Yeah, Derek hasn't looked at me that way for at least a year and a half.
Jesse doesn't
point.
Take me out to dinner like he used to. But Nate Cleveland earlier said that if you did get that money down, BetMGM Grand Slam, if you put a money on Blaze Alexander to hit a home run on the BetMGM app, you might have gotten part of that pool, or I'm guessing maybe all of that pool for that.
You
but,
probably made so much money, man, because there's no way that there's like a ton of bets on Blaze
Alexander,
hitting
home run
against Blake Snell.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you can get down on the Grand Slam jackpot promotion with BetMGM. And if you do, if you bet on Blaze today, you win your share or perhaps the entire pot of a $50,000 daily prize. Of course, you can place a $10 or more wager on any player to hit a home run every weekend. If the player hits a grand slam on that day, they can win that $50,000 daily prize or a share of that prize with every other winning bettor. So, of course, if you haven't signed up for the BetMGM Sportsbook app yet, do so now. Sign up for that app. Deposit $10 into your sportsbook account. Place your first wager, and you can receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if the bet loses. Again, sign up for BetMGM and use that bonus code of PHNX. Place your first BetMGM Sportsbook wager through the Sportsbook mobile app for at least $10. You will receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if the bet loses. Check out the show notes for full details. And now listen to Shane talk about the disclaimer.
Bonus bets expire in 7 days. One new customer offer only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY, 467-369, New York. Call 1-800-327-5050, Massachusetts. 21 plus only. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Arizona. 1-800-BETS-OFF, Iowa. 1-800-981-0023, Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Bonus bets are non-withdrawable. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in New York, Nevada, North Carolina, Ontario, or Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Well, of course, Desert Financial Credit Union is a great place to take all of your winnings to that you get from the BetMGM Sportsbook app. And of course, if you haven't signed up for a checking account with BetMGM, you can do so now. You can get a free checking account online and get $200 in bonuses. Get started by visiting desertfinancial.com desertfinancial.com/200. And that's a great idea, not just because it's free money when it comes to $200, but Desert Financial for more than 84 years has been Arizona's largest, most trusted local credit union. They got me started on my home ownership journey, and they can get you started as well. Look to Desert Financial for checking and savings accounts, mortgages, loans, credit cards, investment options, and so much more. All right. Well, speaking of Desert Financial Credit Union, let's work the count presented by our friends at Desert Financial Credit Union. Let's take a look at the numbers from tonight's game because, man, this is kind of beautiful. I like this a lot. 17 runs to 1, 22 hits to 4. Runners in scoring position, Giants were 0 for 4. Diamondbacks were 10 for 23, Jesse. 10 for 23 with runners in scoring position.
It felt a little dirty putting the .000 next to the 0 for 4.
They deserve it. They earned that .000. Am I wrong?
It just felt kind of like bullying.
Yeah, that's fine. So does putting up 17 like runs when they've only allowed one. That feels very much like bullying. Jesse's favorite part of this, though, is the hard hit right there at the bottom.
Yeah, 58.1% is pretty ridiculous. Best hitters in baseball don't have hard hit rates that high. So, yeah, Diamondbacks absolutely knock a cover off the ball today. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. I do have confirmation that the Diamondbacks' 22 hits today ties the franchise record. They had 22 hits against the Philadelphia Phillies on the road back in 2013. They hadn't had 20 hits since 2019 was the last time they crossed the 20 hit threshold. So pretty historic.
Elizabeth actually made me laugh out loud with her ha ha ha. They only had 4 hits each hit.
The Diamondbacks had 10 hits with runners in scoring position today. They had 5 hits with runners in scoring position during the entire Cubs series.
Well, you know what feels so good about this is not only does it feel cathartic after the fact that they've kind of struggled and been in a slump offensively, including yesterday's loss, but it's also the fact that they did it against Blake Snell. Because Blake Snell in his career has kind of dominated the Diamondbacks.
Holy cow, has he dominated the Diamondbacks.
It's incredible, right? It's kind of absurd what he's done in 8 starts against this team.
So I did not know this. Blake Snell coming into today in 8 starts, 5-1 against the Diamondbacks in 48.2 innings. So this is not a very small sample size. Yeah. A 1.11 ERA, a 0.76 whip, and only 14 walks, which is pretty dang low. That's in 48 2/3 innings for Blake Snell. Compared to 70 strikeouts. You look through some of the D-backs hitters numbers against him coming in. Christian Walker was 2 for 21 with 14 strikeouts against Blake Snell coming in. Even Ketel Marte, 3 for 25 in his career. Lourdes Gurriel, 2 for 14. Randall Grichuk, 4 for 31. The odds were stacked against the Diamondbacks in many ways looking at these numbers, but they managed, Derek, to score five earned runs against Blake Snell today. They had scored 6 earned runs ever against Blake Snell combined in 8 starts.
That's what?
Against from
That's
Blake Snell.
Ridiculous.
Blake Snell pitching against the Diamondbacks, he had given up 6 earned runs in 8 combined. Starts? Yes. 5.
Holy shit.
5 today. Pretty wild.
Thank
stuff.
God. Get that monkey off our back for sure when it comes to that guy. My God. But I think he still did what he does against the Diamondbacks. Only gave up 1 walk today. I felt like they kind of, saw the writing on the wall there in the 5th inning. I think that they really saw him struggling against this Diamondbacks team to really, like, they were hitting him hard in that inning. And the Grichuk, hit obviously was what ended his day, but it felt like, they were ready for anything, one more thing to happen in that inning. It's just turning to their bullpen, especially in a 4-game series, and especially with the way that this is potentially going to go. Like it felt like they kind of turned to their bullpen early, and then their bullpen ends up making things go way south, right?
Yeah. The Giants bullpen wasn't great
our
today.
Bullpen this time. It was theirs.
Yeah, I know they finished with a position player on the mound, but that position player only gave up 2 earned runs. It was a pretty
looking at you, Tang.
Pretty rough. Yeah, pretty rough day for honestly every Giants reliever. They all gave up runs. They all struggled. And granted, they were probably just letting those guys eat it a little bit, given that this was not a very competitive baseball game. The Giants were not using their high leverage relievers, understandably so. But for the D-backs to do what they did against Blake Snell in the fifth inning was really big. I mean, at that point, going into that inning, the D-backs had a 2-1 lead. Jorge Soler had just hit that home run. You didn't necessarily know how Montgomery was going to finish his outing, if he was maybe going to, you know, if the command was going to fall off or anything as his pitch count got a little bit higher. Of course, that didn't wind up happening, but it was still, that was still a big moment in this game. And the Diamondbacks were just able to come through with several big hits there in that fifth and get Blake Snell out of this game. And that wound up only really being like setting the table for all of the offense that was still to come later in this one.
It's wild how different things can feel from one day to the next when it comes to baseball, right? Especially over the course of a 162 game season. You didn't really want to get too low on yesterday's game, yet it felt like a fairly low point, especially like, forget the extra runs that they put up against the bullpen and the debate about whose fault was it. The offense, like, yeah, the offense scored no runs, so it doesn't matter if the Giants.
You're talking about yesterday's game.
If anybody, you know, they eke out one run, they would have won yesterday, and that would have been, I think, even harder to swallow than, you know, than the 5-0, you know, loss. But the fact was is that yesterday's game did feel like nothing was really going right for the Diamondbacks, especially after Ryan had to come out of the game. Getting hit by that comebacker, and that just really, I mean, it really felt like a low point of the season so far. So for them to come out today and to have not only a win, but to just have everything go so right in Jordan Montgomery's debut and have the offense pop off like this, it really does feel, as much as we joke about it, feels like it went from being Jover to being we back in 24 hours, right?
So. I mean, hasn't this just been a perfect encapsulation of not only baseball, but just like the Diamondbacks season as a whole, one day, 0 runs on 3 hits, literally Ketel Marte and Corbin Carroll both singled off Logan Webb in the first
to
inning
start
yesterday.
The game and it looked like it was
and the
be
Diamondbacks
one of those days.
Had one base hit the rest of the way. And then today they come out and they have 17 runs on 22 hits against the same team. Granted, Logan Webb is very, very good. D-backs weren't facing Logan Webb today or some of the better Giants relievers. But still, and I think it's also an encapsulation of this season for the D-backs where they've had a few games that have been sort of like this. I mean, they put 16 on the Rockies. They put 12 on the Cubs the other day. They've had a few games this year where the offense has just clicked on all cylinders, and it seems like they're just getting hit after hit after hit with runners in scoring position. But then on the flip side, a lot of these close games that they've played, which they've played a lot of close games, they just haven't been able to come through in those key moments. So that's kind of the next step, right? These games are great. I mean, there's always something to be said for a dominant kind of win like this one was. But the next step for the D-backs is to be able to, I don't want to say like spread out the offense. I don't necessarily believe that like just because you score a bunch of runs one day means you're not going to score runs the next day. But to find a way to come through in many different types of games, not just the games like this where, you know, everything seems to be clicking.
So there's some chat about Jordan Montgomery because now people, after seeing him one start, want to know how long he's going to be here. Can you give some clarification on the whole 10 start thing about his vesting
his
option
contract,
for next year?
Yeah, he has a vesting player option for 2025, which basically just means that it is a player option, but it only exists if he reaches 10 starts. So if he makes 10 starts this year for the D-backs, then he will have a player option for next year, which of course it is a player option. It is not a guarantee. It's a guarantee for Montgomery, but it's not a guarantee for the Diamondbacks. If he had a good season for the D-backs and then wanted to go test the market, he could just not accept that player option and then hit free agency again. I think for Montgomery's side of things, that's really the ideal outcome here. If he has the kind of season he wants to have, he's not going to just take the player option, which ranges from 20 to 25 million based on how many starts he makes. He could probably get more long-term security by testing the market if he has the kind of season that he wants to have this year.
Right. When Jesse says that, it does go up to 22.5 million if he reaches 18 starts, and then 25 million if he reaches 23 starts.
Yeah,
so then
right.
that obviously makes it, you know, an incentive for him to start as many games, just like it was an incentive to him to not only, but part of the contract for him to be here on April 19th, but for him to start on April 19th and start as soon as possible so that he could potentially reach some of these vesting options. Most likely, though, based on his value, if he does, if he has a season where he gets to 23 starts for the Arizona Diamondbacks after his short spring training and after coming in late and everything, I have a feeling that he's going to get much more than $25 million potentially from another team, or at the very least, he's going to get a long-term deal that he's seeking, something more like 4 or 5 years at $25 million plus per year, you know, versus it just being one more option, one more year with the Diamondbacks. So
if Jordan Montgomery had just targeted a longer-term deal at maybe a more reasonable price point, given the state of the market at the beginning of this offseason, I have no doubt that he could have gotten it. Mm-hmm. If Eduardo Rodriguez signed with the D-backs for 4-80, Jordan Montgomery could have gotten 5-100 from some team. Easy. I just can't imagine that not being the case.
Probably from us. Potentially.
I don't think that. I don't think the Diamondbacks would have given Jordan Montgomery 5-100 after they signed E-Rod.
They signed E-Rod, if it was an option to get Montgomery instead for 5-100, I think they would have done it.
Possible. Ken Kendrick did say, though, that, I mean, he kind of emphasized when we spoke with him after this move was made official that the lengthy commitment is kind of a point of concern, I think, for this front office. And
should be.
And understandably so, like it's the D-backs signed Madison Bumgarner for 5 years and that didn't go so well. So I honestly am not sure. I'd be curious to know, like, if it was 5-100, I mean, that deal was never on the table. Certainly Scott Boras was asking for a heck of a lot more than that out of the gate. But I mean, Ken Kendrick described it as 4 years for Eduardo Rodriguez already being kind of stretching the envelope in terms of like a long-term deal. I don't know if they would have been willing to give Jordan Montgomery 5 years, but they were certainly willing to give Jordan Montgomery what is essentially just a one-year deal with, you know, an extra guarantee on the back end for Montgomery if this season doesn't go the way that he wants it to. So, one way or another, it's a good thing that Jordan Montgomery is on this baseball team.
Money might lie, but the numbers don't lie, and the numbers absolutely never lie on this podcast. So let's take a look at Jesse's number for tonight's game. Jesse, hit him with it. What do you got?
Today's number, Derek, is 25, and 25 represents...
millions of dollars we gave Jordan Montgomery.
Yes, actually. No, it doesn't, but it could have. That's good stuff. 25 represents the number of hard hit balls by the Arizona Diamondbacks tonight. They had 25 batted balls of 95 miles an hour or higher off the bat, which is an insane number, Derek.
Especially
the Diamondbacks,
in San Francisco, right? Like,
I guess exit velocities, I don't know, would be
the same about the park
as affected much by the ballpark. But yeah, the Diamondbacks prior to tonight had not had more than 16 hard hit balls in a game. That includes the 16 run outburst against the Rockies on opening day. They had 16 hard hit balls in that game. Tonight they had 25. Wow. And looking across baseball this season, no team entering tonight had more than 19 hard hit balls in a game entering today. So the Diamondbacks absolutely blew that out of the water. And only four of those came against Tyler Fitzgerald, the Giants position player who was tasked with pitching the ninth inning. So they'd actually set that record for this season prior to him even entering the game. I also, of course, had to check over the course of the StatCast era, what is the most number of hard hit balls that we have seen in a game. And it is 26. So the Diamondbacks were one shy of setting the StatCast era record in terms of hard hit balls.
So, I mean, honestly, what does this mean? I mean, is this more of a reflection of how bad the Giants pitching was tonight? Or is this any kind of reflection of how the Diamondbacks, like what their true final form could be when they're playing their best baseball?
I think it's a reflection of them having an outrageously good offensive performance in one game. I don't know if I can extrapolate much beyond that. I mean, look, I think the D-backs are a good offensive team. Sure. They've shown that to this point in the season. They're above average in pretty much every hitting metric that you could look at. I'm not going to say that their performance tonight makes them the best hitting team in baseball or anything like that, but it was a sign of what they could do when things really come together. And I mean, I don't think every team in baseball is capable of having, a night like this. So, yeah, it was a pretty remarkable day of offense for the D-backs.
Amazing. Well, cheers to you, El Gallo, in the chat, who said he just drank a six-pack of Coors. Cheers, bro. Cheers to you. Cheers to all of you. This was an amazing night, an amazing win. I guess we don't want to get too high on the highs and too lows on the lows, but I'll tell you, now's a great time to get very high on the highs. Happy 420 Eve to you all. Make sure to go check out our friends at OG's Brands. Don't forget to celebrate the occasion tomorrow with OG's Brands. Why 420? Because that's when we used to get high after school. That's why. Why was it 420? It's just our parents weren't home yet. But anyway, OG's has launched two new products made with live rosin and Rick Simpson oil. RSO, ESPO, not ROS. My God, you noob. Anyway, OG's Naturals and the big OG's. Make sure to check them out. If you're a vegan, you'll love the OG's Naturals, which is, of course, made, like I said, with that live rosin. If you are like me and you like getting really, really high, get down on the big OG's gummies. It's a mega version of Pegs, Raspberry, Orange, RSO, Rick Simpson oil. It's Rick Simpson oil. If you don't know what it is, it's just different. That's all. It's not a distillate. It's not the same as other edibles. And for some reason, it's very effective, especially if you're one of those people that tends to say, I've tried edibles before and they didn't do anything for me. If that's the case, I strongly suggest you try a Rick Simpson oil edible. It might change your life. But to learn more about OG's gummies and where you can find them, head on over to OG'sBrands.com. Must be 21 or over to enjoy. And please enjoy responsibly. Cogs wants to know how he gets his mom some OGs. Well, I'll DM Karen and I'll just let her know where she can go pick those up at directly. Don't worry. I'll take care of that. Of course, Game Time. Great place for you to go get tickets to games just like this one, no matter where you are in the country. I'll tell you, nothing is better, by the way, than traveling for something else and then randomly going to a baseball game. I cannot recommend it enough. It doesn't matter who's playing. It doesn't have to be the Diamondbacks. Just go see a baseball game. It's an incredible experience and a great way
have
to
a
get
dog.
There is with Game Time. Have a dog,
maybe a brew.
I couldn't say enough about the Wrigley Field experience I have. And I honestly, a big part of that was the people. Right? The people. It was the people at Wrigley Field that helped to make my experience so magical. But it
Derek
was also,
gets emotional talking about
this. Oh, it was.
He talks to me about this at least once a week. And every
a
time.
Stranger like a stranger gave me his bobblehead on the street. It was like everything
moment.
Lined up in a magical way that I just didn't think was real life. But of course, the best part about that was I got super cheap tickets through Game Time. And you can too. You can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and so much more. So, of course, you can even save more with exclusive in-app deals for select seats ahead of the game or event. Download that app. Get down on it today. Your purchase is also covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. So do not worry about buying those tickets and worrying about ticket coverage. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the app, create an account, and use code PHNX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. Again, create an account, redeem code PHNX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. All right. Well, we do have what some of you might have been. I mean, even with this 17-1 victory, your favorite part of the day, which was the roster moves that were announced by the Arizona Diamondbacks prior to today's game. Not all good. Obviously, the Diamondbacks placed Ryan Nelson on the 15-day IL due to that comebacker that they are calling right elbow contusion. It just means ouchy bruise, bad elbow time. That's basically what contusion means. Like, there could be a bump the size of an elbow on
eloquent
his elbow.
Analysis there.
Right? That's the quality analysis you get on April 19th here from me after I've been at a weed festival. But Ryan Nelson, of course, it's just not great. It's like we needed Ryan Nelson. The Diamondbacks were just in a position where, they had Jordan Montgomery return and now they're losing Ryan Nelson. It's 15-day IL, but we don't know if potentially it might be, more depending on the severity of the injury.
Yeah, we haven't really gotten any more clarity on that. I know Ryan Nelson said after the game that it felt stiff, which doesn't really provide a whole lot of additional information. But no huge surprises there that he was placed on the IL. It's unfortunate for the D-backs. What are the odds of a comebacker getting you like right on your throwing arm? it feels like Ryan Nelson has, there's kind of a thing there with Ryan Nelson and comebackers. Yeah. There was a moment in spring training, not with his throwing arm, fortunately, but I think somewhere like his calf or his knee or something like that. So yeah, it's an unfortunate loss for the D-backs. I mean, they get obviously Jordan Montgomery back, but you're losing a starting pitcher in the process. Yeah. So not great in that regard.
But of course, that was there was one good thing in regards to that, and that was Logan Allen, a somewhat unknown relief pitcher that we didn't really know how he was going to impact this roster. Yeah. But he stepped in that situation when they lost Ryan Nelson and gave the Diamondbacks some strong innings of work. The bullpen tried their best, especially given the amount of work that they had to do. But then things slipped away there in the eighth inning. And, of course, the offense just absolutely didn't make the game. They were late. They left their bats, apparently, behind. But obviously things changed tonight. So we'll just forget about game one. We'll just flush game one. We will call that the pre-Jace Peterson DFA era because, again, that's the big news that everybody has been excited about is Jace Peterson being designated for assignment. Not to celebrate the man being designated for assignment, but obviously with his struggles, there was a lot of complaints. There was just a lot of people in general blaming Jace for the Diamondback struggles. And even though he was a part of it, he definitely was not the reason why this team lost yesterday and has been losing games. Jace Peterson has just been a guy that, you know, was a backup, was expected to fill in a backup role, has been given more playing time due to the injuries that they had early this season, and unfortunately hasn't been able to put it together.
I actually have a fun stat that it's not exactly about Jace, but it's from our friend Teo.
It's about Jace.
And it's kind of about Jace, I think. D-backs ahead. Are averaging 7 runs per game when Blaze Alexander starts versus 3.6 in games that he does not. So yeah, a lot of those games Jace is playing in, I don't think that's coincidence.
Yeah, I mean Blaze has outperformed Jace Peterson. There's no question about that. I do think another factor there is the D-backs have pounded the lefties this year, and Blaze is in the lineup against every lefty, and Jace has generally been in the lineup against
They've played a lot of lefties, to be fair. They have played more lefties than I think any other team I saw. And Jock Peterson has been really good against righties as well. So, like, he's not the problem in the switch over to the righty lineup.
It's interesting. I mean, look, Jace Peterson really struggled with the D-backs. Like, when the move was made, it made sense on paper. I don't think this was like a terrible, terrible move by the Diamondbacks. I mean, they gave up a double-A pitching prospect who I think departed the A's organization. I think he's in the Brewers organization now. But it made sense. I mean, the D-backs traded away Josh Rojas. They were looking for a guy, preferably a left-handed hitter who had some versatility on defense and could play different positions. And Jace Peterson fit that role pretty well. He also, you know, can steal some bases, can run a little bit. So I thought it made sense, but it did not work out, to put it mildly. Jace Peterson went 18 for 115 at the plate in his D-backs career. That is a 157 batting average. It was pretty rough.
I'm going to say this. I have been calling for Blaze Alexander to get a role, a roster spot above both Emmanuel Rivera and Jace Peterson since spring training, right?
Because sure.
I felt like it's performance-based, and I felt like that's the exact way the Diamondbacks should be approaching it. Now, baseball is a weird game, right? And essentially, the problem with baseball is you never want to break up with a girl right before she's going to, like, win the lottery, right? You know, like, you think, oh, wow, well, maybe, like, a financial windfall or something's coming right around the corner. With a baseball player, the minute you DFA him, the minute you trade him away, all of a sudden they become an all-star with some other team. See every player that's gone to the Dodgers, right? But it's just one of those situations where I feel like it's kind of like what I said, that how frustrating the bullpen has been. When you see a brilliant performance out of Miguel Castro or Scott McGuff, you're like, where's this guy been, right? And this is the guy I know, or I thought you could be, so why? Let's try to get this guy more. And it's those little fleeting instances of them being excellent that makes it more frustrating when they're so inconsistent, as so many arms in the bullpen have been, right? But with Jace, I knew what we were getting out of Jace. Jace's performance was no surprise to me. Yes, it was worse than I imagined that it could be, but not much. I just knew that the Diamondbacks were in a bad spot the minute that they lost to Geraldo Perdomo. We all did, right?
Yeah.
We just knew that this might be a chance for Blaze to get some more playing time. Unfortunately, his defense went in a way, again, that we couldn't have imagined it being as bad as it is. I think he has minus six outs above average right now, which is one of the lowest in Major League Baseball, not the lowest. And it's just it's a rough go for him. But the promise is there. Just like with the rest of this team, you can see it. There's, you know, I'm a big power wash guy, right? Video game. You can see the beautiful like stuff underneath the grime, right? And like the more that we see Blaze at the plate, the more we see him actually be a very accomplished looking major league hitter. That's somebody that could very much be an offensive threat. We know his arm is great. That's been actually one of the things even above his bat that has been talked about when it comes to Blaze Alexander. So should he be able to put the defense together and at least perform when asked upon, but we could get Perdomo back and not have this team have to rely on Blaze Alexander being out there day in and day out, I think they're going to be in a very, very different spot. Plus, Blaze is getting time now that he wouldn't have gotten, and he's getting a chance to make those mistakes, mature, and get better as a defender out there at a major league level. And he probably wouldn't have gotten that much regular playing time if Perdomo was healthy. So there is a positive here when it comes to Blaze's development as a major league ball player.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, D-backs said all along throughout spring training that they wanted him to play, and he certainly has an opportunity now to play a pretty good amount, like to play maybe most days at shortstop, whether a righty or a lefty is on the mound. I do have to go back to Blaze's at bat in the fourth inning. I thought that at bat was as good as probably any at bat in this game. The game was close at that point. It was first and second,
Blake
two
Snell
out.
Was still in.
This was just 1-0. D-backs had a 1-0 lead at that point. Blake Snell was still in, was still pitching pretty well at the time. And Blaze worked a 7-pitch at bat. He fouled off some tough curveballs. Blake Snell threw pitches in like all quadrants of the zone. Blaze saw two pitches out of the zone, neither of which he swung at. He swung at every pitch that wasn't, or I guess he took one curveball for a called strike, but in the zone that he took that pitch for strike two, it was a good pitch. It wasn't an easy pitch to really do any damage on. And then he just was fouling off pitches and finding a way to kind of grind out that at bat and wait for his pitch. And eventually he got a high fastball and he destroyed it down the line, and it turned into another run for the Diamondbacks. So it hasn't just been that Blaze could make hard contact. I think I felt pretty confident that would be the case. It's been the quality of the at-bat. He really has found a way to lay off some tough pitches. And also, when he is swinging, he's not whiffing as much as I expected him to. It's looked pretty good all the way around.
I think it's kind of like with Jock, right? Jock, I felt like he was just going to be this free-swinging guy. Like, we talk about Gino. Gino is as described. And tonight was a much better night for Gino. But what we've seen out of him as far as his strengths and his weaknesses, Gino is living up to exactly what we were told by Mariners fans and people that loved him, what his flaws and what his strengths were, right? But when it comes to, you know, a young guy like Blaze or a guy like Jock Peterson, right? Jock Peterson's another guy that we kind of expected just to be, you know, kind of a free swinging power bat. And instead, we're seeing some very quality at bats from him. We're seeing him put together long at bats where he's really working the count. And now we're seeing that from Blaze, and that's not easy to do, especially when you're kind of as hot as Blaze is, right? Like, you would think he'd be free swinging a bit more, but it's because he's having that patience at the plate that's allowing him to have that success that he's currently having, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's impressive what he's put together so far. It's starting to not just be a small sample size. The man is hitting .340 with a 1,000 OPS.
Yeah, and to the point that was made in the chat, like, no, he's not going to maintain the 400 BABIP or whatever it is right now. His expected stats are, you know, not that of a 1,000 OPS, but you don't need a 1,000 OPS for Blaze Alexander to be a valuable player. If he has an 800 OPS, I mean, that would be a guy that you'd have a hard time not getting in the lineup every single day, especially if his splits aren't super pronounced, if he was able to do some damage against righties as well as lefties. So the defense is still the big question mark, right? That's still something that I don't think we have an official resolution to. I know he got a start at short a few days ago, and he looked pretty good in that game, but he's going to have to demonstrate over the course of a longer period of time that he can hang in there defensively at shortstop and given what he's done with the bat recently, I imagine, and also the fact that Jace Peterson is now no longer in the organization, I imagine he will get the opportunity to show that here in the coming weeks.
Well, that's all we got. We'll be back, of course, on Monday. We do have ourselves a little diehard only mailbag that's going to be dropping.
That's not all we got, Derek.
But that's all we got.
No, yeah. We actually have something very important that we have to get to.
What do we have? Oh, no. The thing.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, yeah.
You sneaky, sneaky
I tried
little
to
man.
Get out of here without
you tried
a
to get out of here. Tried to not warn the people.
It's down to six more wins.
Come
it's
on.
April 19th.
Home stretch, folks.
You got 11 days to get six more wins. Can you do it?
Cheer
I don't
your little
think
hearts
you
out.
Can.
The Diamondbacks have to go 6-5 between now and the end of April.
Easy.
Derek Montilla will dye his hair.
My D-backs? We got this.
Unfortunately, Heidi Watney didn't make any references to your purple hair today, which was that was a shame.
I'm pretty sure she hates me now, but I will say that when it comes to that record, I don't feel so confident after seeing them put up 17 runs in tonight's game. You might not.
You don't feel confident
don't
that
feel
you won't
confident.
Have to dye your hair?
No, I don't feel confident about me keeping my hair by current color
normal. Okay.
Shouldn't even be the runs that make you not feel confident. It should be Jordan Montgomery is what should make you not feel confident.
He's only gonna have one more start this month, right?
Maybe free two? Win
yeah
chalk that one up.
He'll probably have two.
Oh damn it,
that's right. Two free
I think
dubs.
I believe Jordan wins. Montgomery's next start will come against the St. Louis Cardinals, actually. His former
one,
team.
Two, three. I'm counting four right there. That sucks. Easton says, as a fan, this was just as fun as opening day. Bats alive. Gumby, let's go, Easton. It was as fun as opening day. And I mean, this was against a much better team as far as the quality of opponents.
The Giants may or may not be a playoff team when all is said and done, but they're a heck of a lot better than the Colorado Rockies.
B-com C clearly said, Zach Gallen is Brandon Webb. Yes, I said it. No. They're two different people. I've seen them in the same place at the same time together. I can confirm that they are not.
They're pretty different pitchers, too, for the record. Zach Gallen, more swing and miss in his game. Brandon Webb, of course, heavy ground ball, threw a ton of sinkers.
They both fucking shove, though.
They're both very good. Yeah. Yes, both Diamondbacks, both very good.
I mean, Caesar says, damn, Derek is actually hoping the D-backs lose. I don't know if I'm hoping they lose, but
I was getting that vibe too. I'm glad I wasn't the only one.
I feel like by the Diamondbacks winning, I lose, right? That's what essentially happens here. And
so you win either way. That's what I'm hearing.
I don't feel that way. I don't feel like I don't feel like there's any scenario where me having to dye my hair is a win for me personally, but should the Diamondbacks do it, it's definitely a win for them.
I'd say odds for purple hair, Tony. I'm going to go, the D-backs going to go 6-5, correct?
Six and five.
They've got two more against the Giants. Then it is the Cardinals. Then it is the Seattle Mariners. And then I think they have two against the Dodgers before the end of the month.
And there's chances they could get Alec Thomas back.
I'm going to go -120. -120.
Oh, wow.
Derek will get purple hair. And I'll say no, Derek will get purple hair is sitting at +100,
I'm
even odds.
The +100 at Derek. No,
okay.
No,
that's the juice you like.
Now,
that's
now
fine.
I guess I am.
You don't believe in the snakes.
Now you're betting
against
the Diamondbacks.
Well, we know how that went last postseason as well, right? So we'll do whatever I need to do to hedge myself, my bets, my feelings emotionally, all that kind of stuff. But of course, we thank you guys for being here. We thank you guys for being Diamondbacks fans. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at @Cap_Caveman with a K. This maniac next to me is at Jesse N. Friedman. Make sure not to miss out if you're a diehard on our diehard only mailbag. Trust me, when we do those, we're answering every single one of your questions, even if it takes me and this man 50 minutes to get
which
it done.
I think it did.
Which is right in the neighborhood of how long that one is. But I know that one
stop
guy.
Stop talking about Oreos and pizza.
Yeah.
Places.
Yeah, there was a lot of snacks chat. I know that one guy. Thank you for your super chat. He says, waiting for those highlights. What highlights? Do you mean on this show, like, we can't show highlights on this show as much as we'd like to?
We would get sued within, you know.
Moments.
Within milliseconds.
We wouldn't leave this building without getting
sued. I
think
our YouTube channel would just be buried to the ground.
So
you know.
But what I can do in the future is I can draw the highlights that happened in the
game. Yeah, we are allowed to do our own illustrations.
I heard we might have highlights next post-game show, though, so make sure to tune in for that one.
You keep tuning in, and we will make you the false promise that we will show highlights one of these days, for sure. I don't know. Derek Hall was here the other day. He likes us very much. He likes me especially very much. I don't know why.
That means that any potential legal ramifications for, like, all that stuff is off the table. If Derek Hall likes what you do,
if he gives us his blessing, then, you know, we can get away with anything. But of course, the man behind the Mac, the people's producer, the one man on the ones and twos, is the one and only Damon Dog. You can find him on Twitter at Damon Dog. That's DAWG. And of course, we are Damon's Dogs. Bark, bark. Our show is at PHNX_DBACKS. But as always, all roads do lead to at @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Be calm. See clearly says also, I'm married to Devin Booker.
That's nice. That's a good life. I didn't know he was married.
It's interesting. Can I get a ride in one of the lowriders is all I'm asking. I just want to hang out with the dog and a lowrider. It's not that I don't think Devin and I wouldn't get along. I just don't think that I could not fangirl him 100% being around him. So I would at least just like a ride.
The cars are just, I mean, that's just a good time.
He says, you know what highlights I'm talking about. This is getting weird now. I don't know what highlights we're talking about. But
maybe he's talking about the purple highlights.
Oh, if that's the case, then God, then owned that's you. A good, that's a good one. Yeah, that's thank good. You for your that's super good. Chat. we will get that hair highlighted very soon if the Diamondbacks can pull out that winning record in April. Of course, thank you guys again for your chats, your super chats, for being here, for being fans of this team, for being wonderful human beings. And of course,
most of you
for watching the show. We'll be back on Monday, of course, at our 1 p.m. time slot. So make sure to tune in then. Bring your Mailbag Monday questions to Twitter and join us then. Drop a like before you go, of course. Make sure you subscribe to the PHNX Sports YouTube channel. Do all of that stuff. Of course, if you're listening on the audio podcasting side, subscribe over there. Sign up for notifications on the YouTube. Leave us a review on the audio side. Leave us a like before you go. We appreciate all of that stuff. But of course, more than anything, we appreciate you. And we appreciate the Diamondbacks putting up 17 runs on the Giants. We also appreciate Jordan Montgomery being who he is. So
we also appreciate Yoshi bringing up the important things.
Yeah.
James Outman hitting it to the warning track.
$2 super chat. Thank you, Yoshi. Says, can we laugh at James Outman?
Jesse's favorite player, James Outman.
James Outman's off to a rough, bit of a rough start.
What's his stat line, Jesse?
He's 11 for 58. He has a 616 OPS.
You hate to see that. Jesse, I know that's devastating to you, being that he's like your favorite player.
Rookie of the Year candidate from last year? Let's not get into Corbin.
Jesse's franchise mode, MLB The Show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is MVP, that's for sure.
What's Corbin Carroll's OPS?
Don't do that. Don't do that. We're not leaving the Friday show after 17-1 victory on
that's
that.
What we're doing right now.
Oh, and I'm how the bad guy you. I'm rooting against them.
How dare you, Freeman?
We're both bad people. That's the final
it's
analysis.
It's still early
here.
On all fronts. I will say.
Of course, we appreciate you guys again so much for stopping by. Thank you for your time. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you drop 17 runs on your division rival.